Seeking peace through Jesus Christ, Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 9. Do please sit down and we'll begin with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we've heard your word read, and we pray for the gift of your Spirit to give us understanding, that we might apply it and put it into practice in our lives. We seek you for peace this morning, and show us, Lord, the ways that you want us to live towards that end. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So our subject this morning is peace. Firstly, peace within local church communities. And secondly, peace within the heart of the individual Christian. Christianity is about peace. Many people come to church, especially to church buildings, seeking peace. And the Hope Explored session last Sunday evening showed us that engaging with Jesus Christ is about finding peace. Peace at the most foundational level. Peace between you and God. What we might call vertical peace. Peace between you and God so that God is no longer in a state of conflict with you. And Rico Tai showed us how Jesus' death on the cross gives us this peace. Peace through turning to him in repentance and trusting him as your Lord and Saviour. As Paul wrote in his letter to the Colossian Christians, it's here on the screen, and through him, Jesus Christ, that is, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. God made peace through Jesus' blood shed on the cross. Jesus took the punishment for our sins, and by doing this, he reconciled us to God. This brings peace to anyone who is included in Christ through faith. And this is the basic good news of the Christian gospel. A peace with God which lasts beyond this short life and on into eternity. For those of us who've accepted Jesus' death as our means to peace, we still have the day-to-day need to seek peace in our church family and in our personal life. And that's going to be our focus for today. So that big picture gospel is about horizontal peace with God, but today we're going to think about, vertical peace with God, but today we're going to think about horizontal peace with others in the church and then in our own hearts and minds. We're going to look at three ways in which you can seek peace, very practical ways from this Bible passage. So do please have a Bible open. There's one under your seat in the church, and that Bible reading is on page 1180. We'll look at a couple of the verses together. So seeking peace. Firstly, have the same mindset in the Lord. Verses 2 and 3. At the beginning of Philippians chapter 4, Paul actually names names. He names two members of the Philippian church who were in a conflict situation, Euodia and Syntyche. Verse 2. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree with each other in the Lord. Now, it's unusual for Paul to name people like this. Normally, when he speaks about people who are opposed to the gospel, he doesn't name them specifically. But these two are not enemies of the church. And it's actually a sign of Paul's friendship with them that he names the two women. Paul valued them very highly. Look at what he says in verse 3. He tells us how they contended at my side in the cause of the gospel. Syntyche and Euodia were fellow workers with Paul in making the gospel of Jesus Christ known. They both put their shoulder to the plow and were actively involved in advancing the gospel. If they were members of our church, All Saints, they would be involved in some kind of outreach or evangelism. They would have been involved in the Passion for Life season that's just coming to an end for us. They'd be involved in Hope Explored. Perhaps they'd have been involved in the Jubilee celebrations, or maybe the outreach stall which we had at the 8 Ash Green Festival before COVID. Euodia and Syntyche were key players, but they'd fallen out over something. And I wonder if you are in a similar situation at the moment. What a way to be remembered in the Bible as the two women who'd stopped talking to each other. And we might like to ask, well, what exactly was the problem? Who was at fault? Was it mainly Euodia? Or was it mainly Syntyche who was causing the problem? What is clear is that it wasn't a gospel truth that they'd fallen out over. In chapter 3 of Philippians, we see how seriously Paul took false gospels. And here it is on the screen. For as I've told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. But Syntyche and Euodia, they weren't enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. I'm sure they loved the gospel. No, it's much more likely to be something about the way church should function or the way outreach should happen. Perhaps it was the format of the Philippians' children's ministry groups. Or perhaps it was to do with the choice of songs in the services. Should the melodies be from the Hebrew songwriter school in the tradition of King David? Or should they be in the trending Greco-Roman style? Perhaps it was about whether they should focus outreach on the Acropolis, the Forum, or the theatre. But I'm just inventing these ideas because Paul doesn't tell us. But here is an important spiritual truth for us. Peace comes through having the same mindset in the Lord. And this bit of teaching is really important. If we get hold of this, the blessing of God will flow so much more deeply in our lives and in our church. And therefore, the gospel message will be that much stronger in the world. Peace comes through having the same mindset in the Lord. Now, the NIV translates this in the Bible you've got here today, verse 2, agree with each other in the Lord. Now, the Greek can literally be translated here as have the same thinking in the Lord. Philippians is all one letter, and we should expect details to be joined up across the chapters. And Paul uses the same word when he's talking about Jesus Christ's humble attitude in going to the cross. 2 verse 5, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. We focused on this verse at the beginning of the month, on the Jubilee weekend, when we thought about how Queen Elizabeth was a servant queen in relation to Jesus, the servant king. And the word attitude here in the Greek is about having the same mind or thinking. Your mindset should be the same as that of Christ Jesus in the way you live in the church. And then chapter 2, verse 2. Make my joy complete by being like-minded. There it is. Having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Like-minded, there's that Greek word again. Phronio is the Greek word. Well, this means that getting clarity on Jesus Christ's mindset and purpose is key to rising above our differences of taste and style and method. not talking about rising above core gospel truths, but more the things around that. And these differences we have are only natural. We come from different backgrounds, different cultures, different generations. But we're called to set aside these differences for the sake of the mission of Jesus. We have a higher calling which should shrink these things and should make them less important. Be like-minded, have the same mindset, the same love and purpose. And Jesus is our example to follow. He laid aside his self-interest for a higher cause. He went to the terrible death of the cross for a higher purpose than his own interest. He died on the cross as a ransom to bring peace between God and many people. And last Sunday evening at the Hope Explored course, Rico explained that explained this in the life of one individual, the thief who was crucified on a cross next to Jesus, who received salvation that afternoon. So Jesus is our example to follow, and this is the way of Christian discipleship. When you get to a point of tension with others in the church, you need to look to try and put aside your own interests and preferences for the sake of the gospel. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. And he's particularly thinking about how it goes in the church, us gathered here today, and how we do things together. Now, this can be really hard. It's hard for me. It's hard to give up non-essential things that are precious to us. But back to chapter 4, verse 2. I plead with Euodia and I plead with Syntyche to agree, to have the same mindset with each other in the Lord. Giving up our own interests in the church family, this is a fundamental core issue for church working and functioning, being able to grow and develop, being a place of peace. It's the way of discipleship, and it can be hard and costly. So may God give grace to each of us to have this attitude, the same attitude as Jesus Christ. And may God shape me to be like this. So the first way to seek peace is to have the same mindset in the Lord. The second way to seek peace, present your needs to the Lord. Let's have a look at verses 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the God of peace, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Here is a famous Bible gem, an encouragement to pray to God about the kind of things which churn through your mind, the worries, the things that make you anxious. And many people want peace from these kinds of anxieties. When I wake up at the beginning of the day, my brain starts to boot up, and some mornings anxious thoughts come into my mind about things which I haven't done yet, perhaps things where the deadline's starting to press upon me. Unresolved problems, issues that need to be dealt with, servicing the car, writing a letter to a particular person, setting the church teaching program for the coming months. Perhaps it's a different time of day for you, but I'm sure that many of you can relate to this. Well, when that happens, this is the go-to Bible passage for you. When anxious thoughts come, do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. That is a wonderful verse, but it is quite a difficult thing to do. When you're fretting about something, the way of discipleship is to stop and check that you've really prayed to God about it. Have you petitioned the Lord? Have you asked him to help you? Have you given your burden to him? If you're trusting Jesus as your Savior from your sin, then God really is your Father. So tell him your burdens. Present your request to him. And then Paul says something really amazing in verse 7. In the midst of your struggle, God will give you a peace which is superior to or above our understanding. And this peace will guard your heart and your mind. It's a wonderful promise. Isn't this what we want when we're troubled? A guard on our heart and our mind? And isn't this the testimony of many Christians in outwardly terrible situations? We can apply this to Euodia and Syntyche. No doubt their disagreement was stressful and produced anxiety for them, and that had a knock-on effect to others in the church community. In the middle of a conflict, we can seek the Lord for this kind of peace. Present your needs to the Lord. These verses are a treasure for the Christian life, and I encourage you to meditate on them, to memorize them, and to put them into practice so that you may have peace. Third and final instruction for seeking peace in this Bible passage. Think about whatever is praiseworthy. Let's look at verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you've learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Paul's speaking about what we fill our minds with. And there's a link between what we focus our attention on and having the God of peace with us. So the basic equation is this. Consider praiseworthy things and put Paul's teaching into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Most of us recognize that we make choices every day regarding the subject matter that we fill our minds with. And in our generation, we have genuinely unprecedented choice that was unknown before the 1990s. And it keeps increasing. The vast number of television options, the omnipresence of ideas and images through the internet. Paul tells us here we're to focus on noble things, pure things, admirable things. And this applies in all spheres of life, work life, home life, leisure and entertainment, school, college, and university. Many of us will know in our experience that the things we choose to focus on affect our sense of peace. At the sharp end, if we watch graphic or abusive horror movies or watch pornography, this will affect a person's sense of peace. I remember a film which was shown in the sixth form film club when I was at school. And looking back, it should never have been shown to us. But I saw it, and for many years, the ambiguities of the images in that film troubled me, and they'd kind of come back to me periodically. The things we watch can grieve the Holy Spirit living in us. And rather than the God of peace being with us, we experience an absence of peace. Well, the things we focus on are on a spectrum, and a great deal of wisdom and discernment is needed. For me, as a general rule, I don't watch much that's rated above a 12. And this is because I very often find that things rated 15 and above cross lines that I find to be ungodly and unhelpful. Now, when I say this, please be clear that this is not a law. It's just a position that I found helpful and a rule of thumb. But it highlights the idea that we do need to focus on what's true and right and praiseworthy. This is one aspect of having peace. Now, some Christian communities and cultures have concluded that the only safe course of action is a total rejection of non-Christian spheres, like only watching Christian TV or only listening to Christian music, if that were even possible. Well, if you do hold that view, and I'm not sure I've met many people who actually really do that in a complete way, actually these verses are a challenge to you. And they're an encouragement to all of us to look for the good in any culture in God's world. And let me just explain for a moment. The Philippian Christians were mainly converts who'd grown up in Greco-Roman culture. And in these verses, Paul uses virtue language in this list, praiseworthy things, admirable things. He uses virtue language, which was similar to that used by the Greek philosophers and writers such as Plato and Seneca. So Paul is saying to the Philippians that they're to ponder and consider and focus their attention on noble and lovable things. Now, much of this will be specifically Christian. And Paul, in verse 9, presents himself and his teaching as a focus. But whatever, the word whatever also includes good things which aren't specifically Christian. After all, it's all God's world, isn't it? So coming to Christ isn't a total rejection of everything from your previous life. But everything is now to be filtered and measured by the way of Jesus and the way of the cross. We should focus on and enjoy the good. Enjoy the admirable things of all the cultures of the world, but do so in a thoughtful way with discernment and wisdom. A big passion for me through my life has been music, and it's caused me to address this discernment issue on many occasions. I have in the past given a lot of time to Christian music, and my work after university was in the field of music royalties, where I covered releases by Christian record labels. I came to realize over time that wisdom and discernment needs to be exercised regarding music that's promoted as Christian in just the same way as discernment is needed for the mainstream music world. And ultimately, the only way that we're going to be able to tell the difference between the noble and the unworthy, the pure and the impure, is by having a mind that is renewed by God's word. So as Paul says in Romans 12, verse 2, "Do not be conformed any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Renew your mind. Focus on the pure, the lovely, the praiseworthy. Focus on Paul's teaching, the Bible. And these things will be a significant way of helping you to experience peace in your life, the peace of God. So let me summarize as I finish. Many people are attracted to different religions and spiritual practices in a search for peace. And mindfulness is an approach to this which has become popular of late. However, as we heard in Hope Explored last week, peace with the just and holy God revealed in the Bible is only through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. That's the vertical peace. And for those of us who've accepted Jesus' death as the means to peace with God, we have here three things to put into action to help us with the horizontal peace in our church, with other Christians, and in our own hearts and minds, in our daily lives. So seek peace, have the same mindset in the Lord. Strive to follow Jesus' example, sacrificing your own interests for the good of the church community's witness to Jesus Christ. Seek to agree in the Lord with others so that there may be peace in our church community. Present your needs to the Lord. Do not be anxious about anything, but pray about everything with thanksgiving. And finally, think about whatever is praiseworthy. God has given us a wonderful world with rich potential for human cultural expression. So consider whatever is excellent and praiseworthy in this world, whether it's created by a Christian or not. But do this with biblical wisdom, following the example of Paul's teaching. If you do these things, the God of peace will be with you. A moment of quiet for you to just think and pray on your own, and then I'll lead us in a prayer together. Heavenly Father, we look to you seeking peace. You know our needs at this moment. We thank you so much for the peace that Jesus brought through his death on the cross. And we put our trust in that afresh now for our vertical relationship with you. And we pray for the horizontal peace, Lord, which we want and need so much. Peace in our church community, and then peace in our own hearts and minds, Lord. We seek you for this. Lord, fill us with your Spirit. Enable us to live together, Lord, putting our own interests aside. We focus on you, Lord, and ask for your help, and pray that you will enable us to focus on the excellent and the praiseworthy. We ask all this in the name of Jesus, the Peace Giver. Amen.